This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Howard, with your permission, I'd like to start just with something personal to dedicate my words in this report to the memory of my very much loved Auntie Di Mittal, who passed.
Baruch, that her memory should be only for a blessing.
Amen. And a dedication indeed. Right. So, Anthony, anything that you want to cover before we get into some of the more meaty subjects?
I do, actually. I want to talk about sport to begin with, if that's okay. We had the State Cup final took place last night at the Sammy Ofer Stadium in Haifa. And the final was played between Beitar Yerushalayim and Maccabi Netanya. The score, which is kind of the sideshow of this particular evening, was 3-0 in favor of Beitar Yerushalayim, the first time that they are capturing their eighth state cup. Sorry, the first time that they're capturing the title of the state cup for 14 years, and it's also their eighth win ever in the state cup. And unfortunately, the events that really captured the news were what happened towards the end of the game. First of all, when the third goal was scored, which was quite late in the game, in extra time being played, a lot of the fans started to stream onto the field. And then eventually when the final whistle was blown, the field was just overtaken by supporters, fans running onto the field. There were all kinds of flares that were being fired off in the stadium. Fans were seen cutting parts of the goal net so that they could take home mementos.
Wow.
There were reports that some of the winners' medals that were given to the players were stolen by the fans. And in the end, the trophy presenting ceremony that would normally take place at the end of a game like that, the president was on hand, President Herzog was on hand to present the trophy, never ever took place because the field had been so taken over by the fans that there was no possible way of doing the trophy presenting ceremony. And the president apparently had to be evacuated under very heavy security, with the award ceremony not taking place at all. Now, Beitar Yerushalayim fans have a reputation for being very, very diehard, for being quite militant, even racist. So they come with a very negative reputation to begin with. The so-called ultras from Beitar Yerushalayim are a well-known factor. And there were certainly were many of them in evidence yesterday in Haifa. But and of course, it's very, very easy to blame the fans for all the events that took place yesterday. There is even some talk about the possibility of rescinding the cup from Beitar Yerushalayim and awarding it to Maccabi Netanya, even though they were the losers of the day, because of the events that took place after the end of the game. But I'm just going to put my tuppence worth in and say that I wonder to what extent the organizers and the security of the stadium shouldn't take some responsibility for what happened. I heard reports from fans who were at the game saying they turned up with their tickets, other people were sitting in their seats, there was nobody around to control things.
So it sounds more of a stadium issue than a club issue.
So I think that the stadium and the organizers really need to take some responsibility for this, because it seems to me that the balagan that was going on at the stadium preceded the end of the game. You know, the events that were going on the stands apparently were not good. People sitting on the stairs and all the exits, which is a security risk. And so all in all, this is not a good face for Israeli football. We know that fans do love to run onto the field, even in non-Israeli games elsewhere around the world, but this was really extreme. So it's an unfortunate end to the football season, and unfortunate for Beitar Yerushalayim, because it would be the first time in 14 years that they would win the State Cup. But we will see what they decide about that.
All right, we'll certainly follow that story. More details of a new Iranian underground nuclear site have been made public. What more is known?
Well, this is not very new information, because we've already had some reports about this new underground site near to the Natanz site, which we're already aware of. But this new site that is under construction is quite extreme in the way that it's been put together. In the first instance, the facility is placed under a mountain, which is 1,600 meters high above the ground. And then the facility itself is apparently located between 80 and 100 meters below the ground. So it's kind of the equivalent of, I guess, like a 30-story building under the ground. That's more or less where this facility is located. And there are suggestions that even the U.S. bunker buster bomb, which is considered to be the strongest explosive that could potentially penetrate underground facilities, even that bomb might not be able to penetrate as deeply as this facility is located. Aside from the fact that at the moment there is no aircraft that can carry that bomb, because the U.S. military have kind of redefined the use of their different aircraft. But even if that bomb was available, apparently it would not be able to penetrate as deeply as 80 to 100 meters below the ground. So if you add together the fact that this facility is apparently quite near to completion, and the fact that there are suggestions that Iran could be around 2 weeks away from being able to take their 60% enriched uranium and convert it to 90% enriched uranium, which is required for nuclear weapons, altogether, this seems like a very, very threatening situation to Israel and indeed to other Western countries. And of course, the fact that Iran continues to be very, very militant in its approach towards Israel and other countries is adding even more fuel to these flames. This piece of news has now been published again in the international press and the Israeli press as well. And the IDF have made some comments about this particular facility and what it means to Israel. It was interesting that the chief of general staff yesterday was making some general comments. This is Herzi Alevi, who's the IDF chief of general staff. And he was saying that if Iran continued along its current progression, that Israel might be forced to take some preventative actions against Iran in order to prevent the progression. Now, we don't really know what that means, and there is no doubt.
And it's nothing new. I mean, this conversation and the same rhetoric has been going on for years as Iran inches closer and closer to being a nuclear power.
That is true, but it feels at the moment like it's sort of ramping up a little bit. And there is little doubt that if Israel was to attack the nuclear facility directly, that would really be a declaration of war. There would be a direct war,
right, between
Iran and Israel. And so I'm guessing that the IDF is still trying to find ways to indirectly infiltrate Iran and to indirectly somehow slow down or attack the nuclear facilities. And we still all remember how the Iraqi nuclear reactor was obliterated by the Israeli Air Force and never, ever recovered from that. Iraq today is not a nuclear power and could so easily have been if that destruction didn't take place. But I don't know that we have the ability to destroy the Iranian nuclear facility to the same degree as that Iraqi successful attack was undertaken. But nonetheless, this is definitely an issue that's very much on the agenda. It has been, you're right, for a number of years already. Somehow, at the moment, it feels just a little bit more. And, of course, Herzi Alevi went on to say even more than that, just to add more to this particular discussion. He says that everything that's happening around us is generated from Iran. He says everything around us and everyone who is against us, including strategy and intelligence and funding, all of that he feels comes from Iran. And then he goes on to say, we are not aloof to what Iran is trying to do around us, and we have the ability to strike Iran if that's what we choose to do. The consequences, of course, are something that we are a little more concerned about, what might happen as a consequence of that strike. But nonetheless, this new facility near to Natanz, which apparently is so deep underground and under that mountain, is certainly giving the Israeli Defense Force some food for thought. It's not new because it has been published in the newspaper a number of times over the past few years, but it just seems as if though we might be getting to that point of no return where we might be forced to take some action to somehow slow all of that down before it's too late.
And on that subject, Turkey is claiming that it has caught a Mossad ring operating on its territory. And I believe that the focus of this Mossad ring, alleged Mossad ring, is Iran.
So, yeah, I mean, Turkey is a very, very fascinating place in terms of Israel's relationship, because on the one hand, Turkey faces not only NATO and Western countries, but it has a very, very close and good relationship with the Arab world and, of course, with Iran as well. And so as a classic conversion point and crossing point, which Turkey and Constantinople, as it once was, now Istanbul, it's always served that role, linking the East with the West. They've been traders. They've been being able to somehow be in the middle of the conflicting cultures. And this current situation that we find ourselves is no different. And of course, from an Israeli point of view, Turkey is a very interesting place to potentially do espionage and to do spying, because there is a lot of activity that goes on there from Iran and from the Arab world. But this particular ring is apparently involves Turkish people. So, you know, when we say a Mossad ring, we have this kind of vision that it's Israelis running around and they're being caught and their lives might be at risk. But in this particular instance, and in fact in many other instances as well, it's local people who potentially might have been recruited by the Mossad to provide information, to undertake certain activities. And certainly in this case, when they talk about a Mossad ring, and we haven't yet received any firm confirmation that they have any links to the Mossad at all, but the ring that we're talking about are Turkish people who apparently have been operating against Iranian interests in Turkey to try somehow to provide information to Israel on Iranian activities and potentially gain a little bit more access to Iran. We know that Israel has a number of different ways of getting into Iran, but this is not the first time that there's been some interesting things happening in Turkey from an Israeli security perspective. We know that, for example, the Turkish security forces have helped Israelis to escape being attacked on Turkish soil and have worked with Israeli security in order to prevent those people from being attacked in the past. That's already happened. There have already been previous reports of Turkey arresting people on their territory who they claim have been working alongside or working for the Mossad. So this wouldn't be the first time that such claims have been made. And of course, we'll never really know whether this group that has been arrested and has been accosted and that apparently the Turkish security forces have been following for the last year and a half, whether they really have these links with the Mossad. Of course, Israel will never, ever admit to that. But I think it's an interesting story, and I think to some degree it gives an idea of the extent to which there is massive operation, massive activity that's going on in Turkey. And as always, Turkey is going to be an interesting place, both to be friendly with and potentially to be a little unfriendly in terms of seeing things from the other side and gaining access to Israel's enemies through Turkey.
The government has succeeded in passing a state budget. That was in a lengthy Knesset session last night. What does this mean for Israel?
Well, apparently the budget for 2023 and 2024 was finally passed at 6 a.m. this morning. So it was an all-night session, finally ending with a vote at 6 a.m. 64 votes in favor of the budget, 55 votes against the budget. So therefore, it passed relatively comfortably in the final analysis, a highly controversial budget, as we've already discussed, because it's a budget which seemingly divides more Israelis than it unites. And that's really a problem. I mean, there's a whole group of, I think, 200-odd economists who've already come down saying that this particular budget is not helpful to the Israeli economy, that this is not what Israel needs right now. In terms of social interaction, the budget doesn't really do much to unite Israelis. And I think to a large degree, the budget really represents the current state of Israel, both socially and economically, which is very split down the middle. There are no real unifying forces here. We say we're going to spend money on medical or infrastructure or schools, which everybody can buy into, because everything seems to have some sort of a local partisan point of view. It's either those schools or it's these schools. It's that group's infrastructure or it's this group's infrastructure. There always seems to be that kind of dividing feature. And this budget is certainly the same. So overall, the economists are saying this is not a great budget for Israel. It comes on the back of another increase in interest rates, which the Bank of Israel decided upon, 25 basis points. That was decided upon the day before yesterday, being Israel's interest rate up to 6.25%, having had an interest rate of almost zero for so many years. Now, all of a sudden, we have an interest rate of 6.25%, which is considered to be very, very high indeed. And that's not the end of the road, because there are many who still think that Israel's interest rates will need to rise a lot more in order to get a grip on inflation. So we're in an inflationary period where prices are increasing dramatically. People are not feeling good at the moment about social interactions, about the way in which the government is treating different interest groups in one way or another. Ultimately, in order for this budget to pass, it seems as if the Prime Minister has been forced to capitulate to his coalition partners to allocate the funding that was agreed upon in all of those coalition agreements, which is very, very divisive indeed. Overall, what this does is it at least secures us a government for the foreseeable future. That looming sword of Damocles that was hanging over the government now is removed, because the government will be able to continue to function without the threat of not having passed the budget. And we will see how the money is ultimately allocated, even though it's there in the budget and seemingly money has been set aside for certain purposes. The question is whether that money will ultimately go to those causes to which it's been allocated. That remains to be seen. The way that the Prime Minister likes to operate means that that is still a question mark and not taken for granted. So we will see how all of that goes, but at least for now, we do have a state budget.
And that's where we leave it. Anthony Wright, thank you. As always, it is 8 o'clock. We'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.